We're up to Perek Shvi, the seventh chapter of Hilchos Brachos, the Laws of Blessings. This is on page Samach Dalet in most standard Rambams. Aleph, Minhagos Rabbos Nogu Chach Mishral B'Seuda V'Kulin Derech Eretz. The many customs that were instituted by the sages of Israel at the meal, and all of them have to do with Derech Eretz, with proper, polite, and just fitting behavior. Ve'elohein, here are some of them. Kishnechnasim L'Seuda, when you enter into a meal, Hagadol Shebekulo Notlos Yerev Tchila, the greatest in the company should wash his hands for the bread first. V'akach Nechnasim V'yoshin Mesubin. And afterwards they go in and they sit down. V'gadol Mesav Barosh V'sheni Lo L'mate Menu. The greatest of the company, if it's a company of two, he sits in the front and the second one sits below him. Hayishlosha Mitos. If there were three beds, they used to recline on couches. Gadol Mesav Barosh, the greatest one sits at the head. Sheni Lo L'mayla Hemenu, Shlishi Lo L'mate Hemenu. And the second should be above him, and the third below him. That's considered the best proper way for the seating arrangement. Halacha Beis. Bala Bayis Mevarach HaMotzi, U'mashan Mabrach HaVakach Botzea. The homeowner says the blessing on the Motzi, he finishes the blessing, and then he cuts the bread, breaks off a piece of bread. And the guest should say the grace after meals. The Shivach Balabayas said that he should bless the homeowner. If there were all homeowners, a group of people who are all equal came together to eat. So the greatest in their midst should say the blessing on the bread and cut it. And he should also say the Birchas Hamazon, the grace after meals. Halacha Gimel. Elbus Botzea Rishol Ptzolat Shiviu Melach Oliftan Lefnei Kol Echad Biyachad. The one who breaks the bread should not do so until there is bread or some side dish before each person. And Kineskavnu Lecho Pasharbi, unless they intended to eat a lot of bread. The Kesef Mishnah explains that the Rambam holds that the side dish or the salt is necessary if they're going to eat other things. So after you say the blessing, you dip it into the salt. But if they're planning only to eat bread, and that's their whole or their main meal, then it isn't necessary to have the salt. When he cuts off, he shouldn't do it a very small piece because it looks like he's stingy. Nor a very big piece, more than the size of an egg, because he looks like a glutton. On Shabbos, he can break off a large piece because it's for the honor of Shabbos that he's breaking such a big piece and it doesn't look gluttonous. And he does not cut it off except from the place that it really baked well. That's where he should cut off the bread. The best mitzvah is to break a whole piece of bread. If there was a whole bread made out of barley, which is inferior, and a piece of wheat, which is a superior bread, except it's an inferior loaf because it's not whole. You should put the whole one into the piece and break both of them. So that it should be breaking and saying the blessing over the wheat bread plus the whole barley bread. On the Shabbos and on the Yom Tov, he's obligated to break two whole from two breads. He takes both in his hands when he makes the blessing, and he breaks just one of them. The person who cuts the bread puts a piece in front of each person, and the other people take it with their hands. The one who's cutting does not put it directly into the hand of the eater unless he's a mourner. One of the customs of mourning is to hand him a piece of bread. So if a person is not a mourner, you don't hand it to him, you just put it down in front of him. Now the one who cut the bread is the one who should eat first. The participants in the meal who are sitting there are not allowed to start eating until the one who says the blessing eats. Now the one who cut the bread shouldn't start eating until the majority of those present have answered amen to his blessing. If If the one who said the blessing wants to honor his rabbi or one who is greater than him in wisdom and allow him to take the bread first, then he may do so. Halach Vav. Shnai mamtinim zela zebekaira, shloshe ein mamtinim. Two people wait for one another from the plate, and three do not. In other words, if they're eating from the same plate and one of them stops, he has to drink or something, the other one should wait for him. But three do not have to wait. In other words, if there's three, two of them don't have to wait for one of them. Gomru mehen shnayim, ashlishi mafsik imayim. If two of them are finished, the third one must stop with them. Gomru echad mehen, nashnayim mafsikim lo. But if only one of them finished, the two do not have to stop. They continue to eat until they finish. Now the Ketzav Mishnah brings two interpretations. Rashi learns that this is referring to the Birchas Hamazon. If two of them finished eating and they want to say the grace after meals, then the one who's not finished must stop and respond to the grace after meals with them. Whereas if one finished, the other two do not have to stop eating, even though this person wants to make a mezuman and say the grace after meals with three people, they're not obligated to wait for him. The Ketzav Mishnah suggests that the Rambam learns differently. That the Rambam is learning a case where three people are eating from one plate or one bowl, and if one of them stop, the others don't have to stop. But if two of them stop, it's not right that the other one should continue to eat, and he should really stop eating out of politeness. So the Ketzav Mishnah holds that the Rambam is not talking about the Birchas Hamazon, but just actually, literally, about stopping to eat. You're not supposed to speak in the middle of a meal so that you shouldn't come to a danger. For this reason, if wine came to them in the middle of the meal, each person says the blessing himself. If one person were to say the blessing over the wine, and a person would answer while he's eating, he might come to danger of choking on his food. You don't look at the face of the person who's eating or at his portion so as not to embarrass him. The waiter who is waiting on the participants does not eat with them. It's showing pity on him. In other words, it's being compassionate to give him to taste from all of the foods, so that he should be calm. If they should give him wine, he would say a separate blessing on each cup that they give him. Because his drinking doesn't depend on his will. If it did, he'd have in mind that he'll drink as much as he wants. But since it depends on their will, they give him one, he can't assume they'll give him another. And if they do, it's a new thing, and he has to make a blessing over it. If one of the participants in the meal went to urinate, he washes one hand, the one hand that perhaps got dirty, and then he comes back. If he spoke for a long time with his friend, he has to wash both hands and come in. If they were sitting for drinking, he should come in, sit in his place, wash his hands there in front of them, but apparently with his back turned away, because afterwards he turns his face towards the guests. Now, you see, if they're eating, he can wash his hands outside, because everyone will understand that he washed his hands. If his hands aren't clean, he's going to have to wash them. But if they're drinking, people will suspect that he's not going to wash his hand again. So that's why he should wash his hands in their presence, not outside, but in the room, except he shouldn't be facing them, because that wouldn't be respectful. He turns aside and washes his hand. They realize that he's washing his hands, and then he turns to face them. As the Rambam explains, why must he wash in the place? Because otherwise they would say, maybe he's not washing his hands since they're not eating. If they're eating, they understand that it's dirty not to wash your hands, but since they're only drinking, they'll suspect him of not washing his hands at all. You don't put raw meat on the bread. That would ruin the bread. You don't pass a full cup over the bread because it might spill and ruin the bread. And so when there's a kaiva pas, you don't prop up a plate with bread. Again, the bread might get ruined. It's disrespectful. In darkness a pas, you don't throw bread. V'los ha-chatichas, v'los ha-ochlen, shenlan klippin. Nor pieces of food or food that doesn't have a shell on it. Any kind of food that might get ruined. Kegontusim v'anavim, utenim, like berries or grapes or figs, and they shouldn't amass them because they get disgusting. Umutulim shachasiyayim v'tsunaris v'vati chasanim. You're allowed to make sort of a fountain where the wine flows along these pipes as part of the wedding celebration. V'zarkin l'fnein klayis v'golzim b'mosachama. And it used to also be customary to throw toasted grain and nuts in front of the bride and groom in the dry season where they're not going to fall on the muddy ground and get ruined. But you wouldn't be allowed to do this in the rainy season because they get disgusting. They fall on the ground, they get muddy and dirty, and you're ruining food. You're not allowed to wash your hands with wine. Again, that's disrespectful to the food, whether it's pure wine or wine mixed with water. You do not destroy other food or drink in a disrespectful kind of way. Halacha Yud. Guests are not allowed to take from the food that's in front of them and give them to the son or daughter of the homeowner. Perhaps the owner of the meal will be embarrassed. Maybe all that he has is what he gave them. The children will take what the guests gave them and go away, and the owner will have nothing more to give the guests and will be very embarrassed. A person shouldn't send his friend a barrel of wine with oil floating on top. Because it's possible somebody will send his friend a barrel which is really all wine, and he'll think it's oil since there's some oil on top. But in fact, there's only a little bit of oil on top. He's going to invite guests and be dependent on this oil for his guests. And then when it turns out there's no oil, his bayis will be humiliated. Anything that can bring humiliation to the person making the meal is forbidden. When they finished eating, you remove the table, you sweep the place where they ate, then they wash their hands after the meal. Why is this necessary to sweep first? Maybe they're going to leave pieces of bread on the floor that fell that have the size of an olive. You're not allowed to walk on them or wash your hands over them because you're destroying good food. Little crumbs that are less than the size of an olive, you're allowed to actually destroy them. If they brought them water for washing, the same person who is going to lead the grace after meals, he should be given the first opportunity to wash his hands. That the leader who's given the privilege of the grace after meal shouldn't be sitting with his hands dirty waiting for everyone else to wash. The other participants wash their hands afterwards, one after the other. You don't honor one who says, well, you go first. No, you go first. You don't do that. You do not honor people concerning who should wash their dirty hands first. Neither over going over a bridge, neither on who should go first on the road. The only time that it's fitting to honor someone in such matters is upon entering a door big enough for a mezuzah, worthy to have a mezuzah on the door. When you're entering it, then you should honor the greater person to go first. But on these other things, you don't honor, except for the first person. As we said before, the Rambam said the first person who's going to do the grace after meal should be given the opportunity to wash his hands first. The Rabbit says, "Any day of Mahuze." I don't know what this is. First of all, the leader can give permission to the smaller person to say the grace after meal. So, since it isn't necessarily the big one, the greatest person to say the grace after meals, he's not necessarily the first one to start. Now the reason that you have the leader wash his hands first whether he is the greatest or whether he is just someone who was chosen to lead, is that he should look over the Birchas HaMazon, or think it over, while the others are washing their hands. So it's giving him a chance to think it over. If there's 100 people, he doesn't have to wait that long. 5 people are enough. Not more. So that there should be no interruption between the Netil Sidayim and the blessing after the meals. And the washing of the hands in between is not considered an interruption. In other words, what the Ravid is saying here is that you do not have to let the leader of the benching go first. What you do is, he is the last of the 5. In other words, let's say there's 10 people. So first 5 wash, and then when you get to the last 5, you have the one who's saying the benching wash the first of those last 5. Because all that's needed is that little extra time for him to think over the Birchas HaMazon. And he says at the end, bin tavin, that if you think about this, you'll understand that this is the way it is. The Gemara Mishnah discusses how, according to the Rambam, and this isn't so, the Rambam holds that even though the distinction of the last 5 is made, that's a distinction that applies only when the table is being taken away. But nowadays, if the tables are not taken away, that distinction doesn't apply, and even if there's 100 people, the leader is given the first opportunity to wash his hands. Halacha Yud Gimel. Gomer Litol Yedeyem, if they finished washing their hands, V'nogvu Yedeyem, and they dry their hands, V'barach HaBirchas HaMazon, and they say the grace after meals, V'viyas HaMugmar, and they brought the spices, which was common to burn in, like a kind of incense or spice, M'shebirach HaBirchas HaMazon, U'mavarach HaMugmar, the person who led the benching says the blessing over the spices, V'kulonon and Amen, and they all answer to him, Amen. Ravid says, Apish HaBirchas HaMazon, that this is referring to a case that he did not yet say the grace after meals. He slated to say the grace after meals, and then he should be the one who says the blessing over the mugmar if that was brought before. However, in la'achas sudaba, if it comes after the meal, hagadol mevarech, then the leader would say the blessing. V'api shenasan hagadol rishus la'achel levarach birchas hamazon, even though the leader gave someone else the permission to do the grace after meals. But the Ravid holds that it would not be the one who said the grace who says the blessing, but the gadol, the greatest of the company. Why? Because kvar aver rishuso, because the permission that he was granted for the Birchas HaMazon is over already. He said the Birchas HaMazon already. V'chazer brach l'gadol, and the blessing goes back to the leader. Shlo amru dehu amru ala mugmar af agaf yika adaf minei, because it didn't say that the person who's doing the Birchas HaMazon should say the blessing over the spices, even though there are greater people than him. El ala mugma babatol kasuda, only for the spices that's coming within the meal. Kedis Yerushalmi, as the Yerushalmi states. Why? Because since he was given permission to lead the grace, and he hasn't done it yet, therefore he is given the privilege of saying the blessing on the spices already. Once he's done the grace after meals, the Ravid argues on the Rambam, and holds his privilege is over, and the greatest of the company is given the mugmar to bless. The Rambam, as we see, argues on this and holds, no, that it doesn't matter, even if it's after the grace after meals, he is still, since he was given that permission to say the Birchas HaMazon, he is also the one who says the blessing on the mugmar. Halacha Yudalet. Im hayu sham yayin mevin kos machzik revias or yeser al revias. If there was wine, they bring a cup that holds either a quarter of a log of wine or more, and they bring spices. He holds the wine in his right hand, the spices in his left hand. And he says the grace after meals. And then he says a blessing over the wine. And then he says a blessing over the spices. If the spices were a kind of fragrant oil, or other such things, he puts the oil after he washed his hands with it on the head of the waiter. Maya Shamash Tavachachim, if the waiter was a scholar, Tachal Bakosal, he rubs it against the wall to clean it off, so that the waiter shouldn't go out perfumed to the marketplace that is not becoming to a scholar. The Ravid says, Anitamiya, I wonder at this Rambam. Imakosha Brachahu Omer, Begemara, if he's referring to the cup of the blessing, the cup of wine that the Rambam is referring to, that you say over the Birchas HaMazon, why should he hold on to the spices in his left hand? Why should he be bothered with holding the spices? Till he finishes the blessing. We learn that that's not referring to the cup of wine of blessing, but to the optional cup of wine, just a plain cup of wine that he's drinking. Just as the spices is optional. Still, if he wants to do both, even though they're both optional, he should do the one that's more precious to him, which is what? They said that wine is considered the more precious one. Again, the Rambam learns the Gemara differently. He learns that it is talking about the cup of wine for the Birchas HaMazon. Halachat Esvav, Av Bishen Birchas HaMazon Sricha Yayin, even though the grace after meals does not require a cup of wine, the Rambam holds it's not obligatory. In Birchas HaYayin, Keminik Shamarnu, if he did say a blessing over the wine, as the custom that we indicated, Tzorach Shidiach Kol Shebracha Mibifnim Ulishtov Oso Mibuchutz, you have to rinse it and wash it on the inside and on the outside. Vimlenu Yayin Chai, fill it with pure wine, or when he gets to the blessing of Birchas HaAretz, he adds a little water so it should be sweet and good for the taste of drinking. You do not talk about the concerning the cup of the grace after meals. In other words, you don't talk until you drink it. Everyone is quiet. Until the blessing of the grace after meals and the blessing of the wine is completed, the yishtu, and at that point they drink.